Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and our newborn King, Christ the Lord. Amen. Sermon tonight is based on our gospel reading from Luke chapter 2. Let's begin as usual with prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, send your Holy Spirit that we might grasp the reality of your birth and its effects in our lives today. Amen. I watched a documentary drama a number of years ago with my dad called Handel's Messiah. It was on PBS. It was this rather interesting theatrical production where the man in costume played Handel, and he was sitting at his desk composing his great oratorio called The Messiah. You know, the hallelujah, hallelujah, that one. And as he was composing, actors came on the stage, and there were unwed mothers, and there were destitute children, and they danced, and so it went on and on until the great finish, which was a dramatic telling of how a charity performance of the Messiah raised enough money to save an orphanage, you know, through the holiday spirit. And Handel was even able to pay off his debts, right? Cue the dancers and start the hallelujah chorus. It was a captivating story, one I'd never heard before. But sadly, it was told in a way that Jesus' birth, you know, the thing that the Messiah is all about, didn't really matter. Whether or not Jesus was actually born was given no consequence in the story. And so for as musically and theatrically impressive as it might have been, it sort of just fell flat for me. You know, our Christmas celebrations can do that too, can't they? They can fall flat. Well, even though we came home for it, even though we were able to put a present or two under the tree, and maybe even tried to help those less fortunate do the same, Christmases have an odd way of sometimes leaving us feeling empty, even though our trunks might be full of gifts and our bellies might be full of food. Just like a rendition of the Messiah that's not actually about the Messiah, a Christmas celebration that's not about Christ is going to fall flat. If we are not focused on the reality of Jesus' birth, the fact that it happened, the true and lasting joy of Christmas will always escape us. But that's why we're here, isn't it? That's why we're gathered together with our families, not just ripping open presents, but sitting in pews in front of a cross, singing praises to God, singing the carols of Christmas, the great hymns of Christmas. And that's also why I'm very excited that we get to look at Luke's gospel account in chapter 2. Because ever since he put pen to paper 2,000 years ago, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this story has never fallen flat for me. It's never disappointed. And you know why? It's because of the very first thing Luke says. He says, it happened. I mean, literally, the first word in Greek, agenita, it happened, right? The old King James Version would translate it, and it came to pass in those days, right? Most modern translations simply assume it when they translate, but it's there. Luke's gospel doesn't start with once upon a time. It starts with this happened. Luke wants us to know, if anything, about Christmas, that it took place, that the God of history acted in history to accomplish his saving purposes with real people. And Luke wants us to know that, and so he gives us, as best he can, the closest date and time. He tells us about this census that was decreed by Caesar. Right? Caesar issued it. People had to be registered. They had to move. It happened, right? We're coming up with the 2020 census. Merry Christmas. Sorry to remind you. In fact, Luke wants to get even a bit more specific. He mentions that Quirinius was the governor of the province of Syria. Right? Caesar issued it. Quirinius did it. It happened. And so, a carpenter and his betrothed wife Mary have to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which just happens to be the city of David, the very location that God had promised 7 centuries earlier through the prophet Micah as a location for his son's birth. That's where God wanted it to happen. Now, if you'd asked Mary and Joseph on the road to Bethlehem, oh, why are you going to Bethlehem? I don't think they would have said, oh, well, of course, we're going to fulfill Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Right? But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one from you to rule over. No, they wouldn't have said that. They said, are you kidding me? Mary is 9 months pregnant. She could give birth at any time. And we got to go 90 miles by foot? We're only doing this because of the census. And so it is that Caesar in Rome, Quirinius in Syria, and Mary and Joseph from Nazareth bring about the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, all not even knowing what they're doing, because God wanted it to happen. It happened. What does that mean for you? You ever think about some of the things that might get in the way of you enjoying your Christmas? Right? Difficult people in your life, they don't just disappear during Christmas. Difficult situations, family tensions, maybe loneliness, sadness, anxiety. There's a lot of things that can rob our joy at Christmas. But ask yourself, are these things really in the way? Or is the God of history at work in history again, putting you exactly where you need to be to fulfill his purposes? After all, just think, why are you here tonight? God wielded an empire to move Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Has he not directed the seemingly ordinary events of your life to bring you right here, listening to his word on Christmas Eve? It happened. It's not an accident. And God is at work in all of our hearts right now, focusing us on the reality of his son's birth. And that's what Luke continues to show us. He says, and so it was, again, literally, it happened, that while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Not a ton of details here. Luke just tells us the facts, what we need to know. A baby boy was born, and he was laid in a feeding trough. And besides this being a terrible circumstance for giving birth, and not a sanitary place to lay your newborn, it doesn't seem like anything extraordinary has happened. But what really happened here is not something that you could see with your eyes. You would have to be told. And so an angel comes from heaven to shepherds who are watching over their flocks by night and says, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior was born for you. He is Christ the Lord. Not maybe born, not might be born, not could be born, a Savior was born for you. This is what Luke wants us to know. The good news of great joy happened. God's love happened. God's promises fulfilled. It happened. God, the King of the universe, became a child of the lowest circumstance. He wore our flesh and blood. He came into our messy world under what happens to us, under what we deserve for our sake, to be our Savior. The only way this story could ever get old, ever fall flat, is if you didn't live like it actually happened. You know, there are many people in our world today who don't celebrate Christmas as if Christ actually happened. And despite all the songs on the radio and all the dazzling lights and all the displays in the malls, their Christmas falls flat. You see, the devil works really hard to get us to focus on absolutely anything besides the birth of Jesus in December. He wants you to focus on your hosting responsibilities. He wants you to focus on finishing up those last-minute gifts. He wants you to long for more money so you could have purchased more gifts that people probably really didn't need. He wants you to focus on football, on politics, on the NBA games tomorrow, on whatever it is, just so that you don't sit in awe and think about the fact that a Savior was born for you. But the good news that we celebrate here at Eastside is that God has not allowed his love to be silenced on Christmas. It happened, and he's been saying the same thing every Christmas for over 2,000 years. A Savior was born for you, and he is Christ the Lord. God became a man for you. Mary held the fullness of the deity in her arms for you. Jesus became a frail, weak human just like you and me, so that he could be our substitute. So that one day he could go on a cross and die our death and give us his life. So that one day he could give us his righteousness and bear our sin. This is what Christmas is all about. A Savior was born. My friends, believe this because it happened. It's the truth. It's history. And it will never fall flat. And it will never let you down. In some ways, knowing that Jesus was born is kind of like being dealt the winning hand in a game of poker. How many poker players do we have out here? Anybody? One or two? Okay, thanks for identifying yourself. Got a markdown, Sam? All right. I'm not a great poker player by any means, but I remember one time I was playing Texas Hold'em with some friends, and there's got to be more poker players out there, unless none of you are going to get this illustration, but I was dealt a pair of kings, which is incredibly lucky. And then on the flop, the community, there's three community cards that are then turned over. I have to explain this now. Two more kings came up. I had a four of a kind, right? So I just sat there trying not to smile and not to bid too high so that other people folded, right? Because I knew I had it. I knew that whatever else came, I was going to win the hand. My friends, if you truly trust that Jesus' birth happened, no matter how the cards are dealt for you this Christmas, you have an ace in the hole. Regardless of how well the family gets along, regardless of what you receive or don't receive as a gift, Jesus was born for you, and nobody can take that away. You have something to celebrate tonight and in eternity. In closing, I think about those shepherds running through Bethlehem, shouting the good news to anybody who would listen. I think about Christians throughout the ages who have focused people's eyes on the birth of Jesus. I think about people in my own family who focused me on Jesus. People who made a lasting difference precisely because they believed it happened. And that's the one thing I think that PBS missed about Handel's Messiah. People didn't give to the orphanage because of some random holiday spirit when they heard the Messiah. The Messiah is all about Jesus being born, dying on the cross, becoming the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Right? People were inspired by those words, by their faith in Jesus, and that's why they gave gifts to the children. And if you and I are ever to make a real lasting difference to others in this life, it's not going to be because we pushed Jesus' birth aside. in order to focus on them. It's going to be because Jesus has been cradled in our hearts. And only then will the Holy Spirit produce forgiveness and charity that we can share with others. Only when we trust and celebrate that it happened will we, like the shepherds, find strength in our legs to run around and share the good news. To give people more than presents, but a witness to the reality of Christ's birth and the eternal joy we find in the manger at Christmas.